All right, well, good morning. And it's good to see everyone this morning. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that the songs have uplifted you. But most importantly, we hope that they have pleased our God. Maybe there's something that you can take from the words that are said this morning and help you throughout your week. Maverick used to take horse lessons. And it's a therapy that's often used with kids with special needs. And he loved it. He loved it. We used to go out to Groveland each week, and he'd ride Comanche was the horse's name. Well, now, a few years later, we're trying it again. And we went out to a ranch just outside Umatilla this past week to see the horses. But as many of you know, with Maverick, every day presents challenges. And he really wasn't having it that day. He was having a pretty rough day. And the instructor, she kept telling him, "It's okay. You don't trust me yet, but we'll work up to that." Did you know kids have trust issues? Did you know adults have trust issues? I think all of us have, at some point in our life, really had severe trust issues. And unfortunately, many in this room have been severely burned by those they once trusted. And that's where those trust issues can come from. And so trusting someone can be difficult. But is it any different with the Christian? Do you ever think we have trust issues with our God? I know we'll say that we trust in Him, and we'll sing loud and proud when we sing trust and obey. But do we fully and without hesitation trust Him? Because I'll tell you, it's easy to trust Him when things are going well. But how hard it can be to trust Him in troubled times. Sometimes, one of the reasons I think Christians have problems with trusting God is, quite frankly, there's some Christians who don't really know who God is. To some, He is like the fairy godmother, where she's just there to coach you, right, through difficult times. For others, God is like Aladdin's lamp. You just call Him when you need Him. He'll get you out of a bind. But maybe the biggest reason some Christians don't know who God really is because they don't make an effort to know Him. I mean, here's the cold hard fact. Sitting in the seat that you are in right now, sitting there for an hour, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good of finding out who God is. What this hour is, what this collective worship is an expression of our love for our God because we know who He is. We've learned who He is. But may I suggest that if you have minimal prayer life, if you don't get in the Word, if church, quote unquote, is really the only spiritual time you take out of the week, if that's you, then of course when trouble comes, you're going to throw your hands up and say, "Lord, what are you doing? Where are you?" In order to trust Him, we have to realize who God is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Creator. He is our Heavenly Father. And I want to begin by looking at Old Testament Israel and how they saw God. Why and how they could trust Him. When Solomon had completed the temple, took 7 long years to build, but he had this big dedication after he was finished with the temple. And he begins by calling all of the people, this great assembly, to the temple. Turn back, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to do some page flipping this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we'll start at verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. "Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, 'Truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting.'" When the people saw the temple, there was the glory of God, this fire that came down, and it says the whole temple was filled with it. God's presence was there. The temple was where God dwelt. And when the people would offer sacrifices to him, where would they go? They'd go to the temple because that's where God was. If the people faced some kind of dire circumstances in their life, whatever it was, they would go to the temple and they would pray. And it eventually came to a point in Jesus' day and time that the Jews had three appointed times of prayer, where that is where you came to pray. Why was the temple the hub for the Jews? Because that's where God was. They wanted to be close to him. Israel's dependence upon God and their trust in him was always zeroed in on this temple. And just after what we read later on, starting at verse 11, the Lord is speaking to Solomon. He says to Solomon, "Solomon, if the people ever go their own way after other gods, if they ever don't follow me anymore or don't do what I say, I'm going to remove this temple." And that's why when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, it devastated the Jews, because the temple was their lifeline to God. Their trust in God revolved around this temple. And every year, some of you may have a place where you like to vacation. And it's not just random places. You have a set place. Our place is pretty set. It's free room and board. We like it. Parents are good for that generally. But you have a set place where you're going to go at certain times of the year. And that was the Jews. When they planned their vacation, it was, let's go to Jerusalem and do religious stuff. That's what their vacations, quote unquote, composed of. Now, they weren't really vacations. But to the Jew, every year they made pilgrimages to the temple, regardless of where they lived on the map. Wherever they lived, they went for Passover and Pentecost. They went for the Feast of Tabernacles. And at those times of year, those pilgrims would journey from their homes and they would climb the mountains. Remember, Jerusalem was in a very mountainous terrain. They would climb the mountains to Jerusalem, to the place where God was, in whom they trusted. They wanted to be near where God was. They wanted to be near his presence. The temple represented hope to the Jews. That's where they wanted to be because that's where God was. And Psalm chapter 84 was a psalm that was written for the pilgrimage as they traveled towards Jerusalem. You know those set songs that we have for traveling as a kid? The wheels on the bus go around and right? And then I'm kind of thankful that we don't have this issue with Maverick, but I can remember Mom and Dad taking my sister and I on vacation. There were just annoying songs that you sang in the car as you traveled. Now, I'm not saying that the psalms were annoying, but it's the same type of thing. They were psalms that they sang as they journeyed to Jerusalem. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 84. It's a small psalm, but this is one of several, actually, psalms that they would sing as they traveled to Jerusalem. Psalm 84. "How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee." And so psalms like this, they just keep on singing and singing as they got closer. Because remember, it wouldn't have just been your family. There were hundreds and thousands of families that were traveling these same roads to come to Jerusalem. But these are words of the one who longed to visit the temple, who longed to come into God's presence. So picture this pilgrimage. Those weary travelers have been dealing with life that whole past year, just like you and I deal with life, the heartaches, the challenges, the disappointments, the losses, but they're on their way to the temple. Why? Because they're going to see the God in whom they trust. And near the end of their pilgrimage, as they cross over that last mount, and there they see it. There's Jerusalem, the great city, and there in its heart is the temple, the dwelling place of God. You can almost feel that urge of excitement. It's like when you're driving to Disney for a little kid and they first see the Mickey ears. They're so excited because we're almost there. Well, that's how it was as you would see in the distance the walls of Jerusalem and you were traveling to the temple to see God. It's been a hard journey. For some of those pilgrims, they've journeyed for days, many miles, through hard places, but it's okay now because I can see where God is. And such is the times in our life as we're on this pilgrimage that we call life, walking through valleys of sorrows and valleys of hardship. But when it comes to the presence of God, the burdens just kind of drop off. In verse 6, it says they passed through the valley of Baca, which simply means tears. The valley of tears. Some think that it has reference to a place on the road of these pilgrims where the balsam trees were, because balsam means weeping one. The sap really runs out of balsam trees. But in life, do you go through valleys of Baca? Do you go through valley of tears, a difficult place, a place of hardship, a place of sorrow? You ever gone through those hard times in your life? But those tears are turned into blessings. Because as we walk through the valley of tears, we are walking towards our God in whom we trust. The pilgrim's journey illustrates the trust that we must have in our Lord. Have you ever had maybe concert tickets or something like that where you were going to see someone and you're so excited and you make the journey and when you get there, you have this big canceled sign over? The Jews didn't have to worry about that with Jerusalem. Making this journey, they knew that God would be there. We have people this morning who are suffering. And I don't know everybody's story here. I quite honestly don't want to know everybody's story here. But at the same time, we have people here this morning that are going through things that no one else knows about. Things that make them suffer. I'm not talking about inconvenience. I'm not even talking about just the things that happen as you get older. But there are people here this morning who are truly suffering. And this life is a tough pilgrimage. It's tough. But keep focused on Zion. Keep focused on the presence of God. For that pilgrim, their trust was in the fact that God is there at the temple. And that's why I'm making this pilgrimage. That's why I'm going through this, because I know that God is there at the end of the journey. And then verse 12, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. I want to make 3 points this morning about trusting in God. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing new. Just 3 basic points about trusting in Him, where we all just give it up to God. We just give it up to Him. And not only do we recognize that He is in control, but that He has my best interests in mind. Do you know how difficult that can be to see with human eyes? This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Dad, I don't think so. I don't think so. But that's how we see suffering. And you know, sometimes it's my best interest to get a lashing. Sometimes it's my best interest to be given a challenge, or to be brought low, or to be disciplined, and yes, even to suffer. Sometimes those things are what's best for me. The simple fact is, we trust in God, but then something happens in our life and we question if He really is in control. And if He is in control, then why did he let that bad thing happen? It was a national tragedy a week or so ago. Those shooters just killing people in cold blood. And I can only imagine in places like Dayton and El Paso and Chicago that among those people that live there who believe in God, the most common question that was asked was probably, why? Why, Lord? But understand that why is a human question. The answer to why is divine. Why is a human question and we want a human answer? There is no human answer for why. First of all, trusting in God does not mean that He makes all things smooth. I think the very fact that life does not go smoothly. Am I the only one, or are you finding that life doesn't go smoothly? It doesn't go the way that I pictured it. I mean, do you remember in high school, you're writing out, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up, and this is I'm going to be rich and famous. And how'd that work out for you guys? Yep, I'm preaching. You look at it, and life does not go smoothly. But don't think that just because you hand your life over to Him, that all obstacles are removed. I think sometimes that's a selling point that people try to bring people to become Christians, when that's not a true point. However, I will say this. If you do completely trust in God, life does get easier. Not because obstacles are removed. You may very well even have more obstacles added. But because there is a reassurance that I can trust my God. For those pilgrims, they faced hard times during that year. But they looked forward to that time when they would journey to the temple because that was where their God was in whom they trusted. Even Christians who have such amazing trust in the Lord, those people still face very trying times. As the saying goes, trying times are not the times to stop trying. You ever had bad times or tough times and you're sitting there just trusting in God that He's going to take you through, and then something even worse happens to you? You ever have those times where, wasn't this bad enough and now I got to deal with this? 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. Whatever this event was that Paul is speaking of, where his life was threatened, in such times, he says, it forced me not to trust in myself, but in God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. This is a very good passage to quote every morning that you get up. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Anyone here ever leaned on their own understanding? Anyone here ever do a face plant? Yeah, because that's what happens. And it's not even bullheadedness, it's just, pardon the word, but stupidity. That we learn that, yeah, I can't trust in myself. Well, what do I do tomorrow? I'll trust in myself. And we just do it over and over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That term means without doubt. Even when things are not going the way that you think they're supposed to go. You ever said that about life to the Lord? Lord, I don't think my life's going the direction that it ought to be. Even when life seems to be falling apart, maybe even crashing down. You trust in God. You show me any character in the Bible that was spiritually successful that had it easy. What made people the great Bible heroes? It was adversity. It was them trusting in God regardless of what happened. If you acknowledge Him and trust in Him, He'll make your path straight. Not easy, but straight. You ever been on a very hilly and curvy road before? One of our trips to Canada years ago, way before Maverick, we did what every young person ought to do. We did an all-nighter. 24 hours straight. We're never doing that again. Okay. The most difficult part of that drive was going through the mountains. Up and down and around hills and curves that highways should not be curving at. And the biggest problem with those kinds of roads is you can't see where you're going. All you see is hills and curves, and the road just seems to drop off. Well, I hope there's a road after this curve. You know, you're just kind of... But trusting in God, there are no hills or curves. He makes the ways straight in that you can see where you're going. You can see the ultimate destination. It's not that there won't be speed bumps and potholes. There will be. But if you keep trusting in Him, those paths are straight. Didn't Jesus talk about a straight path? The straight and narrow. Lean not on your own understanding. Trusting in God has absolutely nothing to do with your outward circumstances. It's about trusting in Him despite those circumstances. Also, our trust in Him does not mean that we understand what He's doing. Trust in someone who has information that they're not revealing to you, we don't really like that. We don't like to be kept in the dark about things. About 6 years ago, our neighborhood went into lockdown. Four thieves had been spotted in the neighborhood, and they had the sheriff's chopper circling. There were police cars everywhere. And I spoke with a police officer. It's kind of a little nerve-wracking to know, well, why are you guys here? What are you doing? And I asked, have you caught these guys yet? No, sir. And just kind of brushed it off. This is a guy with a badge and a gun. And I trust him because he's a police officer. Now, does he have information that I do not have? Yeah. And he knew a lot more than he was telling me. And that's okay. That's okay. Likewise with God. May I suggest he has a whole lot more information than I have? And sometimes when we ask why, did you let this happen, Lord? Let's be honest about this. If something really bad, maybe even tragedy, comes upon you, and let's just say God actually takes the time to sit you down and explain why He did it, do you still think we'd like the answer? Probably not. Just because we trust in God doesn't mean that we know what He's doing. It just means we leave it up to Him because He knows what's best. Think of the walls of Jericho. Were Joshua's captains looking at him a little googly-eyed? You want to do what? What about Naaman jumping in the Jordan 7 times? They didn't know why, but they trusted. In times of grief and sorrow and loss and sickness, we don't know what He's doing, but I hope we trust Him. It's like James says, if the Lord wills. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, passage that we're pretty familiar with. Isaiah 55 and verse number 8. Here's the Lord speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The way that we reason is so different from how God reasons. There may be times that He carries out His will that, quite frankly, we don't agree with. But He is God, and He does what is right. He does what is just. He does what is righteous. We think we can contain God in a box and explain Him in a box. Can we keep His will in a box? No. But our trust is in Him, and God works the way that He works. In times of hardship, sorrow, and even tragedy, God does not have to explain Himself to us. He is God. It's kind of like Job. One of my favorite sayings of Job, shall we indeed accept good from the Lord and not accept adversity? And that's our society. As long as I'm getting what I want, life is good. But when something bad happens that I don't like, oh, the injustice. Who am I that God has to explain Himself to me? I'm going to trust Him without Him having to give me an explanation. Our trust in Him rests on the fact that He is a rewarder. Anyone here trust a liar? Well, what about a good liar? You don't trust a liar whether they're good or not. But if there is someone who cares for you and is always looking out for your best interest, even if we may not see it at the time, that's trustworthy. And we're dealing with a God whose promises have never failed. And He promises to reward the faithfulness of His children. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. Hebrews 11, and just catch verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Do you trust in God completely? Do you trust that He is a rewarder? Or, pardon the expression, are you just going to do a Hail Mary? I hope I get in. Are you coming and going to approach the judgment throne with, please let me in, please let me in, please let me in? We can know that He is a rewarder because we trust Him. We carry so many unnecessary burdens. Did you know that? The biggest enemy of life is you. The biggest enemy of life is you. Because the things that you are not willing to give over to God, and the things that you want to draw to yourself, there are so many unnecessary burdens that we carry simply because we don't trust God like He ought to. Give it up to Him. He is trustworthy even in times of trouble. Look to those pilgrims. Look to Zion. God is there. The way to Zion, that holy city, is long. You may have to go through the Valley of Baca. You might have to go through the Valley of Tears multiple times, but you keep looking at Zion because that's where God is. And the last phrase of that pilgrim psalm, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in Thee. I want you to turn to the hymn of encouragement, please. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Or are you kind of concerned that you're going on this journey and when you reach Zion, it's going to have a big sign that says, canceled! Sorry! Do you trust our Lord and God that He will bring you through? We always offer an invitation for someone that has not yet become a Christian, has not made a change in their life, repented of their sins, been baptized to have their sins forgiven. We make that invitation this morning. But maybe even more so, we make the invitation that you trust God more than you trust Him right now. Because when you put your full trust in Him, life does get easier. Not because of less obstacles, but because your full reliance is in Him. And shouldn't we always approach it? If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Whoever the invitation is applicable to, we offer it. Let's all stand and sing this last song.
Come we then.